Welcome into the next installment of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, January 17th. This week, we look back and close the book on the year that was 2021. My colleague Haley Virgil spoke with Dr. Amy Commander, the co-medical director and director of breast oncology and cancer survivorship at Mass General Cancer Center, about some of the key developments and data to emerge from 2021 for patients with breast cancer. The conversations focus specifically on the 2021 San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium and also touched on some of the important data and trials to come out of the previous year. Not only did Commander do a great job of walking through some of the important information from 2021 in breast cancer, she also touched on how the field is continuously evolving and shared her thoughts on what's in store for patients in 2022. Take a listen to this really interesting conversation between Haley and Dr. Commander.
So why don't we just start off by just talking about RxPONDER. So do you think you could just highlight some of the data that read out at this year's meeting with regard to premenopausal patients?
Sure. I think it's great to start with this study because it is certainly practice changing and relevant to so many of the patients that we see every single day in breast oncology clinic. So really what was a key finding from this study is that the majority of patients with hormone receptor positive HER2 negative tumors with 1 to 3 positive nodes can be spared chemotherapy when we use the Oncotype DX test to help guide treatment. And I should say the majority of postmenopausal patients. So the study showed that postmenopausal women with 1 to 3 positive nodes and a recurrence score from 0 to 25 can forego chemotherapy regardless of other clinical parameters. So that was really interesting to see the update on that data presented at San Antonio. What is still tricky, however, is how we interpret the data with regard to premenopausal patients. So in this study that was presented, it was demonstrated that those individuals who are premenopausal with 1 to 3 positive nodes and a recurrence score result from 0 to 25 did seem to derive benefit from chemotherapy. But that does still raise many questions because, you know, is the chemotherapy itself providing that benefit, or is this benefit secondary to ovarian suppression? And I will say at San Antonio, there was a very interesting debate on this exact topic. How do we interpret the RxPONDER results with regard to premenopausal women? And in my tumor board this morning, we also debated it. So I think this is still a question that we're going to continue to scratch our heads about with our patients since we're trying to find the best treatment, especially for our younger women.
That's really interesting. Thank you for that. Did you want to expand at all in terms of how you feel that the data should be interpreted, or just maybe how it can be applied to clinical practice?
Right, that's a great question since it's already come up in clinic a few times since the meeting. Certainly with some of our patients with maybe a very limited nodal burden of disease and an Oncotype DX score that is low, and again, I'm referring to our premenopausal patient population, it really does lead to an interesting discussion with the patient about the data, what the RxPONDER trial showed, and you know, what we have from other studies such as MINDACT, which helped inform this decision about the potential benefit of chemotherapy. Is it the chemotherapy? Is it the ovarian suppression? Is it a combination of both? And so I've already had some interesting discussions with many of my patients. And I think this, as we continue to follow the data, this story will evolve and we'll be able to make more precise recommendations for our patients.
Really exciting. Thank you. And just to pivot to another study that was presented at this year's meeting, we saw the updated findings of the KEYNOTE-522 trial. So what did that kind of entail? What did that look like?
Right. So it was really exciting to see the update on the KEYNOTE-522 data. So just as a reminder, in this study, approximately 1,200 patients with previously untreated non-metastatic triple-negative breast cancer were randomized to receive treatment with neoadjuvant pembrolizumab or placebo every 3 weeks, each given with 4 cycles of paclitaxel plus carboplatin, followed by 4 cycles of doxorubicin or epirubicin plus cyclophosphamide. And with further follow-up of the participants in the study, it was demonstrated that those individuals who did receive pembrolizumab had a significantly higher pathologic complete response rate than those who had the placebo, and there was a significant benefit in terms of event-free survival. So it was really exciting to see the update on this data, and it certainly has very important implications in the clinic.
Beautiful. And it's good timing because obviously July of this year, we did see the FDA approval of that combination regimen for patients with TNBC. And that was following a complete response letter that was issued in March. So I guess, what do you just feel are the potential implications of this regulatory decision?
I mean, I was personally very excited to see that. I saw a patient in clinic yesterday, a young woman presenting with a new diagnosis of triple negative breast cancer, unfortunately with lymph node involvement. And I was able to outline my treatment plan for her, which is based on the regimen from Keynote 522. And it was really exciting for me to tell her that this regimen was just FDA approved, honestly, 5 or 6 months ago, and is practice changing, and just to instill hope in her regarding the power of research to find better treatments for what is a very aggressive high-risk disease. And I think my patient and her family really felt inspired and hopeful after learning about the advances that we've seen in treatment of triple negative breast cancer just in the past few years.
Excellent. And just to pivot over to a different patient subgroup, so what kind of updates have we seen this year in the ER positive space?
Right. So certainly the majority of the patients that we care for with breast cancer have a diagnosis of estrogen receptor positive disease. And certainly those individuals who develop recurrence or who have advanced estrogen sensitive breast cancer, we're always exploring new therapies for this patient population. So another really exciting study that was presented at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium was the pivotal phase 3 EMERALD trial, which studied the selective estrogen receptor degrader, elacestrant. All these drugs can be difficult to pronounce sometimes, but it showed that this medication significantly showed benefit in terms of progression-free survival compared to a different form of endocrine therapy, which was up to the physician's choice in that study. So it was really amazing to see this significant benefit and improvement in progression-free survival in this group receiving this novel drug that's an oral agent, which is well tolerated. And it's just really amazing to have another option for our patients with advanced estrogen-sensitive breast cancer.
Absolutely. And I mispronounce drug names so much. So much sympathy there. Don't even worry about it. And obviously we've talked about a lot of different antidotes already of how you're incorporating these findings into clinical practice. So are there any other ways that you're incorporating findings from SABCS into just your day-to-day?
Right. I mean, there are so many exciting presentations at the meeting this year. You know, one of the areas that I'm also very interested in is survivorship care and how we can optimize care for our breast cancer survivors. And there was a great discussion, numerous abstracts really focused on novel areas of cancer survivorship, ranging in from fertility preservation to diet and exercise interventions. So I think this is an area that's wide open for further innovation in the next few years. And I'm really excited to see the results from those studies.
Oh man, that's exciting. That's a big area of focus that I like to touch on. So I'm going to have to find those studies. So I guess just to pivot slightly, obviously we're meeting to just talk about all of these different important updates that we've seen over the course of 2021. And just to touch on another one, we saw the full approval of sacituzumab govitecan for TNBC. So do you want to talk a little bit about how that indication's kind of impacted the treatment landscape?
Right. That's another great question and very exciting development in our field. So as we discussed, triple negative breast cancers are unfortunately often felt to be very aggressive. And certainly our treatment options really have been quite limited to various types of chemotherapy agents. The advent of the ASCENT trial showed us that the drug sacituzumab govitecan can be effective in our patients with triple negative breast cancer who have already received at least two lines of prior therapy. And in my own clinic, I have many women who did meet that criteria who were looking for their next treatment option. And the drug is for the most part pretty well tolerated. Certainly individuals may experience nausea, diarrhea, blood count issues, but for the most part, it has been well tolerated. And some of my patients have been on it for many, many months. So it's been really exciting to have another tool to treat this very aggressive subtype of breast cancer.
Beautiful. Well said. And again, just looking back on the course of the year, we've obviously covered so many interesting findings from the meeting. Were there any other developments in 2021 that you felt were particularly important that weren't mentioning?
I mean, I'd just like to give a shout out to all of the amazing clinical researchers and investigators, and of course, patient volunteers who participated in studies over this very challenging past 20 months. You know, going through getting a diagnosis of cancer at any time is certainly very challenging and disruptive, but to be diagnosed with cancer and go through treatment during this pandemic has been an immense challenge. And I'm just amazed to see all the progress we've made for our patients over this very challenging time.
Beautiful. And just to close out, looking into the future, what do you think 2022 is going to hold for the breast cancer space?
That's a wonderful thing to think about. I'm hopeful that we're gonna learn more and more about how we can de-escalate treatments in some of our patients who maybe don't need as aggressive treatment such as chemotherapy for premenopausal women. Maybe we'll be able to understand a little bit better which patients can avoid chemotherapy. And also we'll learn which patients we really should be escalating therapy further to help prevent recurrences, improve their outcome and chances of cure. So I think our field is really evolving this way, and it's really exciting to see that happen.
Definitely. And I think that's the perfect note for us to go ahead and close out on.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date on all the latest news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on our social media pages, Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time.